This is VOA News. I'm Melton.
Amid sustained nationwide street protests, U.S. President Donald Trump on Tuesday signed an executive order outlining some police reforms. Mr. Trump said reducing crime and raising standards are not opposite goals. He spoke at a White House Rose Garden ceremony before signing the document titled Safe Policing for Safe Communities. He said the order will encourage, in Mr. Trump's words, police departments nationwide to adopt the highest professional standards to serve their communities. The measure also calls for certification bodies to train officers on de-escalation techniques and the use of force standards. Trump did not address the linkage of systemic racism to police brutality, an issue cited by demonstrators across the country. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi lost little time in responding to the president's order with a critique. She called the order weak and said it falls sadly and seriously short of what is required to fight racial injustice and police brutality that, in her words, is murdering hundreds of Black Americans. India said Tuesday that 20 of its soldiers were killed in a clash with Chinese troops along the disputed border of the two nuclear-armed nations, the first military casualties between the two countries in 45 years. The Indian Army said a violent face-off occurred in Galwan Valley in the western Himalayas on Monday night and that there were casualties on both sides. China's foreign ministry spokesman did not provide information about any casualties among Chinese troops, but he accused Indian troops of carrying out a provocative attack on its troops along the border, sparking serious physical conflicts. The neighboring countries have been engaged in a standoff in the valley for weeks, with each other accusing the other of trespassing into their territory. More on this and other stories is available online, voanews.com. This is VOA News. Asylum seekers and others waiting their day in U.S. immigration courts will have to wait even longer due to delays that have mushroomed during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to data published this month, more than 850,000 individuals are expected to be affected by the partial shutdown of immigration courts. That's according to the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse at Syracuse University, a research center that collects and analyzes data on immigration court activities. Even before the coronavirus outbreak, U.S. immigration courts faced a 1 million case backlog. A dramatic reduction in court activity in recent months has exacerbated the situation. Minnesota Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has announced her father has died of complications related to COVID-19. Omar made the announcement on her Twitter account late Monday, saying, "It is with tremendous sadness and pain to say goodbye to my father, Nur Omar Muhammad. No words can describe what he meant to me and all who knew and loved him." Omar, a Somali refugee, also tweeted a verse from the Quran, saying, "Surely we belong to God, and to him we shall return." She offered no other information. Omar represents a Minneapolis congressional district, and since her 2018 election, has been at the forefront of promoting progressive policies, including most recently the defunding and reconstruction of the Minneapolis Police Department. She regularly fires criticisms and likewise is targeted by U.S. President Donald Trump and other conservatives. Media agencies say Burundi will swear in President-elect Evariste Ndayishimiye on Thursday, a week after the sudden death of outgoing President Pierre Nkurunziza. The Constitutional Court ruled last week that the president-elect be sworn in as soon as possible. Ndayishimiye was originally planned to be sworn in August. He'll take the oath of office on Thursday in the capital, Gitega. He was handpicked by the ruling party to succeed in Nkurunziza. He went on to secure more than 60% of the vote in the May election that was unsuccessfully contested by the opposition over allegations of fraud. North Korea has followed through on its threat to demolish the de facto inter-Korean embassy just north of the border, Pyongyang's latest move to ratchet up tensions with Seoul. South Korean media reported a loud explosion and smoke Tuesday near the Kaesong Industrial Complex, which houses the inter-Korean liaison office. A few minutes later, Seoul's Unification Ministry, which handles inter-Korean relations, confirmed that the building had been blown up. The move was primarily symbolic since the office had been non-functional for months. South Korean staff left the facility in late January due to coronavirus concerns. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. You're listening to VOA News.